So, first question is, how has your time been going with God? As you, each week we have different handouts, different things. It's just ways for us to focus our time with God. So my first question is, have you started practicing, spending time, noticing how your time with God has been?
Wayne has.
Wayne, I saw your head nodding, and Christina didn't even need to say anything. I saw that. Thank you. So
I really covet the presence of God.
Yes.
If he ever comes and visits me, it's like to live a big day.
Yep.
And he does. Not every day, but he does. And it's because of the time spent. So if you don't spend the time, do what you did.
That's true, right?
Okay.
How do you maintain a friendship?
Spend time. Yes.
I take time in the morning at my office. I even read a devotional and just pray for discernment. And I mean, I can definitely. There are some days that I walk in through the door and there's a million things, and it doesn't happen until noon. And I used to be really like self-critical about that kind of stuff if I missed it, but. Today, it's just a way to start my day over, even in the middle of it.
So. Very good.
When Brandon's getting really kind of anxious, he'll say, I haven't had my quiet times lately, so I need to do that to recenter, and I notice it makes a difference.
Anybody else?
John 15:5. I am a vine, you are the branches. Remain in me.
Remain in me.
I think for me, it's like, it's just, for me, it's, I'll be having a quiet time because I like driving. Like, I'll drive. Truck to like different schools and different stuff when I'm driving to different schools. Like sometimes I just feel God put on my heart to like, hey, I need to pray right now or something, or I just feel the need to pray and I'll connect with God in that kind of way. Just random times or when I'm working on stuff, and that's kind of when I'm just doing a little bit of quiet time.
Today I have a question, and I'm going to ask for a little bit of interaction today. So work with me, because I've got some questions for you. So first one, what's a goal that you have, just in general? What's a goal that you have in life right now? I'll go first. One of my goals is within the next year, I want to go back to school. I don't want to go back to school for theology. Been there, done that. I love it. I'm not going to end up getting a doctorate or something like that. It's just the cost of doing that, and really, it's not going to necessarily do anything for a career. It's just not really interested in that. I want to go back for fine art photography. And I want to go back to school and really learn a lot more of the tools that I could use to teach others doing photography. It's been fun watching how creative photography has been something that has sparked a lot of interest in the folks that I've worked with out at the residential center. I see a lot of why, even in Dennis's retirement, he loves going out and teaching welding. You get a great deal of enjoyment out of seeing somebody learn a skill, pick it up, and themselves begin to be excited by something. While I know that that's not necessarily a lifelong career for somebody, what I do know is this. One of the most wonderful things I get to do in my free time is spend time going out and doing photography. It's worshipful for me. And so I want to learn more about that, and I want to be better at being able to teach that. So that's one of the goals I have. And we'll talk more about some of these in a minute. But what about you? What are some of the goals? Give me a goal that you have in life right now.
Get my clinical license.
A clinical license.
Journeyman plumber.
A journeyman plumber.
Become an ASL interpreter in the medical field.
Become an ASL interpreter in the medical field. That's a specialized skill. Boy, some of those things would be hard to sign.
How do you sign colonoscopy?
I'm not going to sign colonoscopy, nor do I want to participate. Somebody else, what's a goal? Jennifer.
To figure out what my goal is.
To find a clear
direction I'm going.
To find a clear direction. Yeah.
Graduate.
Graduate. Somebody else. What's a goal?
Wayne wants to be our colleague, Sam, every month.
Well, what is
I heard you talking at the training.
You're
gunning for Sam every month.
Yeah. I want to be a better health nut guy. Better health nut guy. I'm going to train this week. Like a shock to.
Yeah, that's right.
Shock.
You gotta measure my yin and yang.
Shock therapy. This is going back a little bit, but that's interesting. So, think about this. You didn't necessarily share it, but do you have a goal? Do you have something, as I mentioned that, even if it's something you didn't feel comfortable sharing with the group, do you have a goal? You have something you're working towards or want to work towards in your own life. What about in your faith? That's something we don't often set goals for, our faith. We kind of allow our faith to just be a normal part of our life, but we don't really set goals for it. What kind of goals would you set for your faith? Maybe consistent prayer. You might set a goal of your faith, might be sharing your testimony, your story with somebody who you know is struggling with hope.
Working with others.
It could be working with others and sharing the hope that you have by serving. Maybe a goal of your faith is to read through the Bible. You know, there used to be the whole read through the Bible in a year plan, which I did for 12 years in a row and never got through it in the 1 year. But I eventually got through the whole thing. So I think that's a good thing. I eventually got through it all. Or maybe it's to take a class, like to go to one of the local Bible colleges. They all have these classes you can audit. And one of the classes I thought would be fun to go back to is to take Greek again, because a lot of that's leaked out of the back of my brain. I have to use a lot of my tools for Greek when I'm doing it, whereas when I was in class, I didn't have to rely on my tools quite as much. Those are all goals for our faith. It's really easy for us to think about those goals that we have for life, but to think about the goals we have for faith, that may be a little different. And today, I want to set us up with some tools to set a goal and to work towards a goal. But I don't believe that the tools necessary to set a goal for my faith are any different than setting a goal for doing creative photography. And in fact, I think the scriptures already give us what we need. I love this passage in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Paul is speaking to the Philippians here, and he is challenging them about pressing on towards a goal. Not that I've already obtained this, Paul speaking of himself, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. So, before I go too far, I want to express there's two people acting here. And both actions are a part of reaching a goal. Christ has already reached a goal on our behalf. Christ has already attained perfection. He has already attained our forgiveness. He has already, on our behalf, done the work of bridging the gap between us and God. Christ has already done that. But there's a second agent that has to act in order to attain that goal, and that's you and I. I press on, Paul said. I push through. I act. I work. I move. I do these things in order to attain that which Christ has already attained for me. John said it, remain in the vine. Remain is not a passive verb, it's active. In other words, we intentionally focus our lives and stay centered in the person of Christ. This work of reaching a goal is active work, not passive work. And Paul phrases this beautifully, I press on to take hold. For that which Christ took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. The second time he says it, he's emphasizing something to us about the nature that we have to have with a goal in our lives. You press on. Jennifer shared, I don't even know what goal it is yet. I want to know my goal. Press on. It gets exhausting when what we think we have is our goal, we keep getting discouraged. Jess, how many times have you been denied for work, turned down, didn't get the next interview, got it, and then they changed? I mean, but you keep pressing on towards the goal. It's not a passive part of our lives. So Paul continues, I press on towards the goal. Why? To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And to be clear, in the world, we press on towards the goal to win the prize, to finally have completed the class in creative photography, or to completed the class in darkroom, or to have completed the class in something, or to have made my next step in licensure, or to actually become certified in ESL so that I or ASL so that I can actually work with people who need an interpreter in the midst of a crisis. That's the goal. That's the prize. In our own lives and in our spiritual life, the prize is no different, except the prize is eternal. It is, in fact, the prize of all prizes. That we do these things, we press on for this so that we may attain eternal life. Often, our goals are big dreams that seem really far off. College may seem really far off for some. For others, it may seem far off in that it's a whole semester, but it still feels like a long time. Saving for retirement. Balancing the household budget. Lose a few pounds. All of those are goals. And some of our goals may feel very simple to us, but really it's hard for us to imagine how we can get there. It starts with little steps. In life, we call these objectives, action steps, simple things that we can do. If my goal is to finish college, we use that one. What do I have to do to get to that goal?
Out what
process is.
Okay.
Application documents.
Apply. Figure out application. What else? Yeah, figure out, college is a big thing. There's a lot of things you can do in college. Figure out how you what you want to do.
Pay.
Yep, got to figure out how you're going to pay for it. We do not yet have a free college system in the United States, so therefore we have to figure out how to pay for that. And there are vehicles to do that.
Bernie, okay.
What's that?
I said Bernie, okay.
Bernie will tell you.
Bernie will tell you. Well, that's true. But until then, what we do have, and this is one of the things that even with our own kids, I did not take as much advantage of as we should have. But there are already people willing to help you pay for college. There are scholarships out there that you can apply for. What else?
Set a timeline.
Yeah, set a timeline. I can apply any semester from between now and the day I die. So, gotta set a timeline. What else?
How are you going to get there? If you have to get there.
Okay. How are you going to get there? Transportation. You guys have it. Those are all things that you do in order to attain the prize of finishing college. Well, to be clear, the scriptures do the same thing for us. And sometimes we may not think about it this way. In another passage, Peter is talking and he is encouraging us to make every effort we can to make sure our election, our calling towards heaven is secure. He's writing and he says this, God's divine power has given us everything we need for godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very precious promise. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives us a very clear list, a to-do list, to reach that goal. For this very reason, starting in verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Add to your goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will not stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To attain that prize in our spiritual life, there are things that we can do. When Paul talked about pressing on, it's easy for us to think about, we have to push towards our goal. But what are the steps to get us there? And Peter lines out some pretty good steps in the spiritual life to get us there. First of all, faith. I mean, that's where we all start. Some people want to start with goodness. We don't get there with goodness. Some people want to say, if I'm kind, I can get there. We don't get there with kindness. We start with faith. Faith is the foundation that gets us to that eternal goal. But then, look at the things that Peter lines out. And until I started working on this sermon this week, I hadn't really thought of it this way. But look at the way he lines it out. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, which one of us hasn't learned from kindergarten what it means to be good? What are the attributes of a good person?
Honesty.
Honesty. Good.
Humility.
Humility. Challenging, but good.
Compassion.
Politeness. Say thank you. That's good. You know, Peter starts us out with what I would say is almost the lowest hanging fruit of pushing on towards that goal. Simply behave in such a way that you're good. But then he starts getting a little harder. Add to your goodness knowledge. Now it's not just about acting, but I'm going to have to start doing some digging, diving deep, and learning. Learning from others. Learning from the scriptures. Adding to my goodness a knowledge that really is going to make a rich soil for that goodness to grow in. But then he doesn't leave us there. That would be simple enough. But then he says, add to knowledge what? Self-control. Now we're getting into some things that are harder. It's one thing to act good. It's another thing for self-control. Because when does self-control really become a challenge? When nobody else is watching. That's the real challenge for self-control. Because now it's about me controlling what I do, regardless of who's watching. Now Paul's at that point where we're pushing through, and Peter's given us some things that are increasingly hard and challenging in reaching that goal of behaving in a godly way. So we go from self-control to perseverance. Push through, because self-control is important. From perseverance to godliness. What does it mean to be godly? What do you think? What does it mean to be godly? Okay, perfection, maybe. What does it mean to be godly? Honesty?
I think we need to continually focus on God, what He would have you do in any given situation, how He would have you act. It's the Christ in me concept to me. It's listen. Listen, pay attention, and then move with it.
Self-sacrificing.
The two things that came to mind for me in godliness is Christ-likeness. That Christ himself said, if you know me, you know my Father. The idea of us being humble, sacrificial, honest, being trustworthy. What we're doing is we're taking those now out of just our cultural norms. There are people who don't know God that talk about being trustworthy. But when we talk about being trustworthy, we are doing that through the example that God has set for us. God's standard of trustworthiness is very different than the world's. And his standard of faithfulness is different than the world's. Godliness also to me means righteousness. There's a moment that we do the right things because we want other people to see us do the right things. But when we are truly righteous, we're doing the right things because we serve an audience of one. That we are seeking to please God in everything we do. But we keep moving on through the list. From there, we go from godliness to brotherly love. Now, all of a sudden, this moves from internal. In Peter's list, it's external. It's not just about me being right. It's about me now being right with others. And I've got to be honest, this gets to be another layer of challenges for each of us in our spiritual faith, in our walk, in pushing through. That I'm going to love somebody who doesn't talk like me, act like me, believe like me. I'm going to love a Lutheran or a Baptist.
Or a Catholic.
Or one of those non-denominational Bible-thumping, Pentecostals. I mean, we can go through all of those people who are different from us. And the point is we're called to love. And even to love those. Even to love those that are outside the church. So in this list, Peter amplifies the challenge, and each task is a little bit more difficult. It's one thing, as Brandon said, to set a date for when you're going to complete your application to college. It's a far other thing to start getting all of your tax documents together so you can fill out federal student aid forms. And it's a far other thing to sit down with a counselor and then actually sign up for your classes. And then the hardest one is going to be when you actually have to show up for your first class, all nervous, wondering if you're going to be able to do it. Can I really finish this task that I've set myself out to? All those gremlins, those thought demons in your mind are going to come up and tell you, you can't do this. Each one of those is a harder part of pushing through. And it's the same as we set goals for our godliness. So today, what I did was I put down on our papers some simple steps for us to consider. One author this week, as I was reading through some commentaries, put it this way. All you need is a plan, a roadmap, and the courage to press on to your destination. A plan, a roadmap, and courage. So the first thing I invite you to do is to do the plan. Write down a goal for your life. It may be a spiritual goal. It may be a goal that you feel like God is calling you to in life in general. But write down that goal this week in your devotions and lay it before God. And as you do, just say, God, over these next few days, as I begin to talk with you, help me know what the plan is to get there. Now, I'll encourage you, and I'm going to tell you, that each one of us write down goals. But until we start doing what Paul says and actually press into that, move, do something with it, it's just a goal. It will never get us anywhere without action. It's the same in our faith as it is in goals for life. But once you have the plan written down, it may not be altogether put together nice. And this author said the second thing you need is a roadmap. See, it's one thing to have the steps, but you kind of have to order those steps so that you can start moving in the direction you need to be. Do that. Write them down. And if you've never reached a goal before like this, that's okay. You'll get there. But write the steps down in your best guess as to what order they should happen in. And then finally, at the end of that, press on. Start and move. Press on towards that goal. One of the commentaries, and I was reading through this, and I thought this was really good. And I think this was out of one of Mike Iaconelli's books. And Mike Iaconelli's passed away, but he was a youth worker back in the 80s and 90s. And I read a lot of Mike Iaconelli stuff. Sometimes it's riskier not to take a risk. Sometimes you're just guaranteeing that things will stay the same. How many times have we looked at a goal and realized that things are the same today as they were yesterday? That goal has to become a part of our actions. So here's the risky part I'm going to share with you. This week, after you take some time through your devotions, you write down a goal, you think of the plan, you put those things in order, whether it's a spiritual goal or a goal for life, here's the risk. That, right there, that exercise, I promise you, will be easy. The second part is not. Share your goal with someone you trust. Because the minute you do that, it'll be real. And then you'll start thinking, I need to do something. Because someone else knows that I have a goal. Are you willing to risk your comfort today to strive for that goal for tomorrow? It's my encouragement for our devotions this week. To set a goal and to move towards it.